to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 7:05 in the morning on January the 21st, 2011, if you haven't quite made that switch over. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment today. Yeah, on assignment. And busy from the very minute her eyes opened up. But I am joined by Bad Bob.
And good morning. Another nice day in the offing.
You know, it's true. It's 42 degrees right now, and today is going to be mostly sunny, a high of 70. Bad Bob, it's January. We're having a high of 70. I'm not sure if that's a good idea.
It could cause a false spring, and if we have another cold snap, and this happens every once in a while around these parts.
Do you think the Earth is warming up? Could that be causing this?
I think that temperatures are on the rise, but I think it is a natural process that is only slightly influenced by human activity. That's my
story. So you're not a climate changer.
I do not think human activity is the only reason for climate change. Otherwise, why would there have been glaciers in Yosemite that aren't there now?
Well, keep asking questions like that. Anyway, today mostly sunny with a high near 70. Winds northwest between 9 and 11 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 44. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 71. Sunny on Sunday and Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and maybe even next Wednesday. We're going to have a great week, my friends. You know, the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. We're having a great big Valentine's Day party out there on February the 13th. They're going to have two settings out there, or seatings, and they need to take reservations because they are usually filled up quickly on that. So you need to give them a call out at Anselmo's Vineyard. And the ambiance out there for a place to take your loved one or your sweetheart is really great. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are chatting and streaming at KCNR1460.com. You know, Bad Bob, you see things that you just kind of wonder about. You know, all this thing with the Chinese president here. You know, I don't understand a couple of things. Is, you know, the Chinese manipulate their currency. They are the prime movers in what happens with North Korea. I mean, they control what happens in North Korea. The only thing they have to do is turn off the spigot, and all the kerosene and oil stops from going into North Korea. They steal and copy our plans. They make cheap copies of American-made products that would cost, you know, and I think one of the examples used was coachmen or coach purses, and how they cost $500, and they are made in the United States. But they can, you know, they're made over in China for nothing, slave labor, and then they make their way over here to the United States and are being sold for $30 or $40 knockoffs.
I thought Jay Leno had a great line when he said the president greeted President Hu wearing traditional Chinese-made garb, Nikes.
Yeah, well, that was, you know, and the thing about it is I don't understand. I guess I don't understand. Is they are not our friends. They have a plan to become a superpower. They're already a superpower, but even more of a superpower. Gates, that, you know, that poor befuddled man that's Department of Defense or Secretary of Defense, that goes over, you know, there to, as he'd say, mend fences and to, you know, get closer with the on the Chinese defense. He's sitting there, and they unveil a stealth fighter that's as good as ours, if not better. And by the way, the Russians have one that's just unbelievable. And they're doing it with, you know, they're doing a technology that Clinton started selling them. But what a slap in the face. You know, just, I mean, it was like, hey, look what we have. And, you know, and this, in this, and Gates just goes, oh, wow, you know, hey, you know, we got to get closer here. I mean, does anybody pay attention to this? Does anybody think that this is strange? And so we give Hu a state dinner. Sasha, the president's daughter, is waving the Chinese flag. Well, I mean, but see, I can understand that. You know, they're telling me people that get, No, I mean, she's a kid. She's excited, so she grabs up some of my hands or the flag. Hey, wave this, you know, so she does it. I mean, if she waves, you know, if she never waves the American flag, I'd get a little concerned, but I don't think that happens. So, you know, little things like that don't bother me. But, then the Chinese president went to Chicago, the U.S. heartland. You know, I'm not sure that Chicago is the U.S. heartland. I mean, maybe it was 100 years ago or something, but I'm not sure Rahm is there, winning the mayorship of Chicago. It seems to me that if you're going to go to the heartland of America, maybe you ought to go someplace else. That's just my opinion. I'm not sure where the heartland is right now. Bob? I would think the heartland of America is not Chicago. I don't know, if you've got a thought out there, where do you think the heartland is? Where do you think, is there a place that represents, you know, true America? That represents the fact that this is our country.
Some would argue it's these parts.
Some people would. Is it Kansas? Is it Iowa? Would it be someplace in Virginia? Or someplace in Kentucky? I'm just not sure about Chicago. I got to take a break here. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Got some great guests today. We're going to be talking to the Family Justice Center. We're going to be talking to a gent down from the largest sporting goods show, or the sports show in Northern California. All these people will be joining us today. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 7:15 in the morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott. January the 21st. Linda's on assignment.
The chat room is strangely quiet. I'm concerned about this.
Uh-oh. Type something in there. That's strange. Okay, I can only read these things because I rarely make comments on them. A Southern California middle school teacher seduced and molested a 14-year-old student in a sexual affair that lasted several months. Until the teacher's husband, a Los Angeles police officer, discovered the relationship and threatened to kill the boy, her family claims in a lawsuit. They claimed that the LAPD officer threatened to kill the teen and his family with his police department-issued weapon. This is after this gent found his wife, Amy, and the 14-year-old in their home. The affair lasted from March to September until they were caught, turned herself into the police in the March of last year, and she's currently serving 2 years in prison. Oh, so she's in prison for it. Here's what I don't quite understand, is the molestations that seem to hit the news is always, I mean, it's all, at least the ones that hit the news seem to be female teachers, and they're usually younger.
30, 20,
molesting,
30-something.
Molesting young boys. When I say young, anywhere they're in their teens.
What in the culture has brought this about? I'm puzzled. I mean, any guy in the reverse role, the key would be thrown away, but we haven't seemed to find our level of,
You know what it is. It's the fact is, it's that, you know, here's the hot teacher, quote, hot teacher.
Thank you, Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, the hot teacher and a 14 or 15 or 16-year-old boy. And for some reason, society thinks, well, you know what, that's bad, but it's not as bad as if it was the same age male teacher and a 14 or 15 or 16-year-old female student. Is it a culture kind of accepts that? I mean, molestation is molestation, isn't it? I think it is. Something I'm going to be writing on, we're getting echoes back from the chat room. Other things. One of the things that my blog's going to be about today in the Record Search Light is the Military Leadership Diversity Commission has just said, and I wanted to be sure about it, it was just said to open up all occupational fields in the armed forces to women. And this is their issue of their issue paper, if that makes sense. And if you look at their blog today, you'll be able to get a link back to it. But what it's saying essentially is that women are being discriminated against in the sense that because 10% of the jobs are not open to them, it may cost them the chance to become a general officer. And the jobs they're talking about are those in direct combat. Infantry, artillery, rangers, probably tanks. All the ones like that, anything that's infantry dominated. And so I wasn't sure I read it right, you know, because I was reading it in the paper, and then I read an excerpt from something else. So I called back to the Military Leadership Diversity Commission that started, by the way, 2 years ago, and coincidentally when the Obama administration came in. And it said, and the spokesman was really, really friendly. And she told me that, we've gone through hundreds and hundreds of hours and pages and witnesses and documents to arrive to this. And she made all that available to me. And I said, is this the bottom line? Is that really, is that women should be allowed to be in the infantry and face combat that way? And yes, that is the bottom line. However, the services will be able to set the standards for those jobs. And she didn't say specifically infantry. She said, but any of those occupations, the services can then specify at what level the people have to be, what level to be in that unit. So I'm thinking about this. I've been in combat with women, and they are tenacious and brave. And I believe in equal opportunity for bleeding for your country. In fact, I think everybody should serve this country in one way or the other at some point in their lives, and not just enjoy the benefits of this country and not have kind of like skin in the game. It doesn't mean in the military it could be, you know, working on trails or whatever. Okay, that's another subject. But this one really is, I'm concerned about this one, is, you know, it hasn't been accepted by the service chiefs. But then again, the service chiefs were not real crazy about changing the don't ask, don't tell policy in the middle of two wars. And they were, you know, they were completely overridden on that one. So I'm thinking, okay, so what happens if we do this? What happens if the Military Leadership Diversity Commission, who recommends this, and it's accepted, what happens then? Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, 60, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 7:24 in the morning, January 21st. It's going to be a great day today. It's already 42. It's going to go up to 70. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley, 82nd Airborne veteran, is at 244-1988, puts in Dish TV and does a great job. He has moved to a new location, my friends, 1345 Liberty Street, right in downtown Reading, right where the 44 kind of meets and comes into the city. 244-1988. He does just really professional work. He guarantees his work, and he's a local guy, and he keeps the money local.
Want a little bit of trivia?
Sure.
That building at one time housed the predecessor on this frequency in Reading. KMCA was located in that building
that
for a time.
That would be a good place to station.
Yeah.
Something like that. Before we go any further, I want to say this is Colin McAvoy, who is the news guy in the morning at KRCR, Channel 7. And since I've been here, Colin's been here, and now he's on his way out. This is his last day. He's going to head, I think he's heading south. He's into music, Colin, isn't he? He's in the theater. If you know Colin, he has been in many of the theatrical productions around town and, you know, the musical productions. Is a fine actor, and he wants to start devoting more of his life and his time to music and theater. So, Colin, we're going to miss you. And at many of the events around town to support charities and other good events for our city, you've been there. So, Colin, fair winds, following seas, and we hope that everything that you do from now on is a success. After saying that, I'm going to go back to this Military Leadership Diversity Commission. You know, I am upset with this whole thing. And let me tell you why. It's one thing to say the services can set the standards, but how much rudder guidance are you going to get from higher headquarters in the sense of civilians saying, oh, no, we have to do this? And you need to take a look at this. I mean, do you really want You know, and I'm not talking, you know, everybody's, oh, you said the same thing about, you know, about airplanes. Oh, they can't fly aircraft. Oh, what about women in combat that they'll be captured or they'll be maimed? Well, it's happening all the time. It's got nothing to do with that. Women pilots, they're there. In fact, one was captured during the Desert Shield, Desert Storm. And really bad things happened to her when she was captured, just like really bad things can happen to men. The women that were captured during the Iraq, you know, the Iraqi invasion, and she was rescued by the Rangers later on. Really bad things happened to her, but then really bad things happened to other people that were captured during wartime. That's not it. Oh gosh, what happens the first time we see a woman with a loss of a limb? Well, guess what? Front pages on Time and all these other magazines, there they are. They've lost two limbs. It happens. It's war. They're in combat support. They're out there. They're fighting. But it's not the same thing as putting them into an infantry unit. And having trained many Marines in my life, and having been in that situation where we mixed male and female, to put it as an equal, on equal footing, it didn't happen back then. The women, smarter, they're just as tough. But they didn't have the physical endurance. They didn't have the speed. And I'm not making this up. I mean, I've watched it. I watched it for a year. It didn't have anything to do with that. And then the Marine Corps changed what they were doing and broke the women back out into their own platoons and, you know, and trained alongside, not with, not integrated in, but with. Marine Corps still has boot camps for men and boot camps for women. They don't integrate them, and there's reasons for this. So this is my concern when I see this. Is this going to be something that is, you know, is like, oh, well, we need to have this happen, and what impact is this going to have on our men that fight? You know, at the pointy end of the spear here, there may be two or three women that can handle the physical aspects of this, you know, be strong enough. But do you change everything based on 1 out of 1,000 or 1 out of 10,000? I'm not sure.
I would submit that combat is not business as usual, God willing. That is an extraordinary situation that requires the very, very best to get it done with early and to make it like it's just like the rest of society during normal times is absolute idiocy to consider a combat situation as being just the same as every other situation. That's insanity.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, we don't have much time here is, you know, they go, well, you know, don't ask, don't tell people fought it. Well, you know, you have male soldiers in the infantry or Marines that are gay, but they're men in the sense of, not in a sense, but they have the physical strength to handle this, the physical strength and endurance. Now, I'm going to, you know, the thing is that I feel that we really need to take a real good look at these things and not just do something because it's what? Diverse? Definition of leadership covers diverse. Carlin and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carlin and the Bot. Linda's on assignment today. But I'm here with Bad Bob and all my crowd, all the crowd here on the chat room. Indie Guy, hello, Indie
Guy. You got
guy.
Your posse in the chat room crib.
That's right, and Breezy. We've just been joined by Breezy. Breezy's here for the first time. That's great. Hey, you know, this portion of the show is brought to you by Mike's Music right off Cypress Avenue. Mike has got great sales on the musical instruments. Not only do they have sales on it, then they'll show you how to use them. I mean, really professional instruction. They got great places down there to jam, and it goes down there and rehearses. They've got some great sound rooms. 243-3774, Mike's Music. We like them. Give them a try there. Okay, on the line is one of our favorite people ever.
Very engaging and engaged.
The very pleasant, right. The incredibly talented, and the, you know, incredibly healthy Amy.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Amy, we've missed you.
Hey, I know. Sorry about that. Hey, you know, I want to call Mike's Music, and I want to learn how to play the guitar. You got me all inspired now this morning, Carl.
Well, you know what? If you're going to do it, there's the place to go to, because this guy is great.
Well, I'm definitely going to do that. I've been wanting to play the guitar for a long time. So anyway, guys, that's it for today. You know, last year a lot of articles came out about how stretching before exercise was bad and not to do it. And the one thing that those articles failed to mention was that there are different types of stretching. So what I don't want people to do is to feel like they should never stretch again before they work out, but I want them to understand the different kinds of stretching that there are. Okay, so we've got four kinds. One's called self-myofascial release, and Carl, that's what you use when you're using those foam rollers, and you're kind of rolling out those tight spots, like a rolling pin on those tight muscles, okay? So that's one type, and that kind of, that gets those knots, like when you get a massage, and the massage therapist presses on those knots. That's what those little foam rollers and tiger tail rollers are for, to kind of roll out those knots. The next stretching is called active stretching. And that's where you hold a stretch for, say, only 5 seconds, but you're going to repeat it maybe 3 or 4 times. So it's not a very long held stretch, but just a little bit to kind of prepare the body for activity. And the other stretch that's okay to do before a workout is called ballistic or dynamic stretching. And all that means is that it's moving. So, like, you know when a golfer is getting ready to go golfing, they do the move of the stroke they're going to make, or the swing, the golf swing. Or a baseball player will take a bat and swing it in the, you know, the way he's going to swing the bat. So those are kind of moves that are going to mimic the activity you're about to do. And it's still a form of stretching. So stretching that you should not do before your exercise is called static stretching. So static, you can kind of think of staying still. Static stretching is the ones you hold for 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Those are the long stretches. And those are the ones you want to save till after your workout, till after you're all warmed up. So I just want to make sure that everyone kind of had a better understanding of the different types of stretching that there were.
Well, you know, that sounds like, you know, so many times people get out there and they try to stretch too fast. And the older we get, the less stretchy we may be. So, you know, if you have to, like, really ease into it. And there's stretches.
That's where the warm-up comes in. That's where those nice, you know, five-minute cardiovascular warm-up is a great way to get the body ready and going.
Before you go. And, you know, I understand, too, then at the end, stretching is just as important after the workout.
Flexibility, absolutely. It's really important to keep that flexibility up, too.
So how are things going down there at Adamson's Peak Performance?
Phenomenal.
That's great. We're got anything new down there?
Well, we've got the TRX classes coming up,
which
is so much fun. They're going to be just such a great thing to do for brides getting ready for that summer wedding. It'd be a great way to get in shape.
Amy is a great trainer. We heartily recommend her, and of course, Adamson's Peak Performance, one of our favorite places down there.
Aww.
Everybody down there is cheerful and knows what they're doing, and they're just, you know, you don't see anybody down there not smiling. So.
Well, we're very fortunate. It's a fabulous place to work, and Joe and Kathy have done a great job building the business.
They really have.
Just phenomenal owners.
So. Another small business here in town that does well. So, hey, Amy, thank you very much, and we'll be seeing you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful weekend.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. You bet.
Bye-bye. Okay. You know, before we go for the break, there's a couple of things in here. I don't want anybody to think or to misunderstand how I feel about women in the military. I wholeheartedly support it. I've seen, without the women in the military, we wouldn't be able to do the mission. We have done things in the past that are maybe short-sighted, that have caused consternation, have caused things to happen that, you know that the law of unintended consequences, yes, that's happened. But women in the military have a place. And many of them do just remarkably great jobs, you know, just like the men do. So.
During my time down at Miramar, we were right next door to Top Gun. One of the most awesome fighter pilots down there stood 5'6", blonde hair, and kicked butt. She was one of the aggressor pilots, and she took the guys down a notch. And she was but of course at that time she was not allowed to go into a combat zone. But as a trainer, she kept the guys on their toes.
Aren't you sure? Were you in that movie Top Gun? Is this what you're talking about?
Well, actually, I had left No. This young woman, whose call sign, by the way, was Jugs, and she took that with a big smile, and because she understood the process, and she was unhappy that she was not allowed to be deployed, but she took her role on as a trainer and was extremely good.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. I bet you're right, Bob. All right, let's take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. There you go, indie guy. You don't think we love you. Home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. It's 744 in the morning. It is 40 degrees. It's going to be a beautiful day today, 70 degrees, sunny. And this, in fact, this whole week is going to be great. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. January the 21st, this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjack's Restaurant. The senior menu at Lumberjack's. And you got to be 55 or older, so, you know, Bob, you're ready for that, five or six years ago. Anyway, the two entrees for $12 is what it says here. Add a cup of soup for $0.99. Add a salad bar for $1.99. 501 East Cypress Lumberjack's Restaurant. You know what? Local people, and they've got, they serve great meals, very reasonable prices. Go down there and try it. That senior's menu, two for $12. You know, we have people in here writing on the chat room that uses words like anthropomorphize. I'm gonna go back to politics here. That group of conservative House Republicans, by the way, laid out a plan to drastically cut federal spending over the next 10 years. $2.5 trillion in cuts. Targeting everything from Amtrak to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to subsidies for mohair producers. All told, it's going to add up to like $2.5 trillion in cuts, whacking 55 different agencies and programs, including public housing, benefits for federal employees, funding for the arts and humanities, and international aid. Many of the cuts, you know, of course, are going to be those long-time targets.
I do understand federal employee salaries have been frozen for like 3 years.
Except for Department of Defense.
Except for DOD.
And
what that may
and Congress.
Yeah. What that may precipitate is a mass exodus of public employees, including the people who process a lot of the paperwork and big day-to-day tasks. The experienced people are going to say, I've had enough. I'm out of here.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's why I disagree with you on that one, Bob, is the fact is that they make a pretty good wage now. And the other thing, too, is for 3 years, and they can change that during this 3 years. And if the economy kicks up, they can kick that back. The one thing they've got is they've got that retirement and, health care and all this. And let's face it, under the Obama administration, there is no economy out there. There is no jobs. Over 400,000 people every week are looking for or new people going on unemployment. So you're right. At some point, you're going to start losing those people. I don't think right away. I know when Jimmy Carter did the same thing, and he froze it all. He froze Department of Defense, too. He froze all those jobs. Well, already, we did see an exodus. Back then, the economy was, again, bad. But you saw an exodus because, you know, after 3 years of no raises, and people had families, and your pay being in the military back then was horrendous. But that, who knows what's going to happen here in 2 years.
Well, what happened this year is a lot of employees, their salary was frozen, but their health benefits went up by 20-30%, effectively cutting their pay.
You mean for the government?
Government employees.
Well, it's not just government employees, that the health care. When they passed this health care law, the cost of health care started going up right then. Anyway, going back to these cuts, many of the proposed cuts represent cuts like to the National Endowment for the Arts, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They would also gut a wide range of energy and environmental programs like weatherization and beach erosion funds, and have proposed a clamping down on federal employee unions. Two groups they're not touching: entitlements and defense spending. Anyway, these were laid out as an idea for the next 10 years. You know, the thing about it is I'm in the middle of doing a fix on a heating system in my house that managed to go out during the coldest part of the year. And one of the things it says is when I'm talking to them, is they said, gee, And we'll get more into this as later on when I find out how much it really is going to cost. I luckily have a home warranty, and they're fixing it. But there are so many things. And as the gentleman says, well, gosh, you know what? You live in California. And I said, yeah, I do. He says, that's too bad. He's calling me back from the East Coast. He said, because if you weren't in California, you could save yourself. My friends, I'm not kidding you. Well over $1,000. Well over $1,000 if I didn't live in California. He says, gee, under the new laws that just kicked in January 1st and these others, we have to do the following things. And it's not covered under the warranty. So I went, okay. And, you know, as I find out exactly what it is, and they're starting this week on it, so we'll see what it is. But again, it's, you know, I don't see how so far yet how this is saving, you know, how this is, you know, doing jobs, saving money here. But because certain things just have to be moved 5 feet. I swear to you, one breaker box has to be moved literally 5 feet. $400. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, Linda's on assignment, 7:53 in the morning, January the 21st, beautiful day. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, one of my favorite places. Go down there and get a cup of coffee and walk on over to the humidor and pick out a fine cigar. And they've got grab bags of cigars that are really well priced in there. And it's a mixture of cigars, and they're always good. But to have that, go on over to their meeting room, and they've got a Wi-Fi there if I want to use a computer and sit down there. Great place. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Provides great community support. Joe and Shelley, I can't say enough about them. Okay, Dan, good morning.
Morning, Carl. This is about the Sugar Pine Prison Camp deal on Backbone Road.
Okay.
I just wanted to invite you to go for a ride with me. I have to take a 65-foot-long, 80,000-pound truck and trailer about 7 miles east of the prison camp, and I can't use their road. I have to go up that Siemens Gulch Road with it, and it's... It is really bad. It's one lane. There's a spot there where it's steep and narrow and windy, and if I meet somebody else, there's no way they're going to have to back up. I won't be able to.
Well, now, Dan, I thought they were talking about opening that gate up and letting people use that.
Well, they let the locals use it, but the contractor I'm hauling to up there said that if he let me through, they'd take his key away.
So you've got to go 7.5 miles over over this terrible road then, huh?
Well, it's about 15 miles total. It takes me about an hour and a half each way. And the ironic thing is, if they move that gate, well, you're already inside the gate where you can just drive right down to the prison camp where you cross the road.
Uh-huh.
So if they move that gate 50 yards up the road, then Backbone would be on the outside of the gate.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, now, have you, as your boss, talked to the county supervisors at all about this?
Oh, I don't know. It's just a messed up deal up there. It really is.
But I would hate to think that you're having to do things that are dangerous just because of somebody's trying to make a point here.
Oh, I would too, but, well, you know, as a truck driver, I'm the cheapest and easiest part to replace in a truck, so that's where I'm at. It's a food chain.
Well, you know, I don't agree with that part, but okay, I see what you're saying.
I don't either, but...
Well, Dan, you know what, this is, I kind of thought that they were letting it open like they did before, you know, and let people go through, at least look and see who they are, make sure there's, as they said, there wasn't drug dealers and all that kind of stuff going by. It didn't sound like you got a load of marijuana.
As often as not, the gate used to be open all the time, you know?
Yeah, I know. But you know what, again, it's our state and, you know, and feds and everybody wanting to just kind of clamp down, you know, we don't need to go back in those roads, we don't need to do this, we don't need to do that. Oh, gee, who's paying for that? Well, damn, Dan, you're paying for it with your taxes.
I understand that. I know. I get a little irate sometimes about it, but not much I can do, I guess.
Well, you can be careful.
Well, yeah, I am.
Be careful.
Hey, on another topic, this is an observation I find it interesting that Moonbeam and the Democrats, the party of the poor folks and the little people, where is he making his biggest cuts? Medi-Cal is taking about a half a billion dollar bigger cut than anybody else. But the first place they cut is Social Services, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing they cut? $12 million out of the veterans.
Yeah, I know.
Do you see one thing for illegals that's being cut out?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
No, of course not. Okay. Dan, thank you for your phone call, and be careful out there.
Oh, I will. Thanks.
All right. You bet. Okay, you know things like that. I hear here's somebody that's just he's driving a truck, he's making his living like that. They don't have to make his life harder. They don't have to do that. They could just open that gate up, or like you said, move it 50 yards, and then Dan wouldn't have to do that. He would not have to drive 15 miles over a really bad road, and to have to deliver this. I don't understand this concept where you're putting people's lives in hazardous areas, when you don't have to do that. I mean, there's so many things in life that are hazardous that you have to do. And to do this is ridiculous. Everybody screams and yells about it. Oh, okay, no, we'll open that gate up, and they'll be really good for a week, and they'll shut it down again because they just don't like the heat. It's like the lady that shut, what's her name, that shut down the roads. I have a mental block, from the Shasta Trinity.
Oh, Sharon Haywood, supervisor of Shasta Trinity.
We have asked her numerous times, hey, just come on the show. Everybody that comes on this show, and if you listen to this show, I don't care who you are, you get a fair shot here. You get to explain explain your decisions, where you're going with it, and that. She won't even return a call. This woman works for us. She doesn't care. And my question is why we haven't had somebody roll in on that lady from high and say, we don't like her attitude. Tell her to start working with our people.
The silence implies a tacit approval.
Well, that's kind of scary. Tacit approval.
On the part of government at large. The federals who know better than us regular folk.
Okay, let me see. Dennis wants to know if they're going to repair the road he uses and others depend on during the year. I assume you mean the truck driver.
Yeah.
No. This is not a highway. It's a dirt road. now they've gone after Dennis. Okay, Dennis, that's what you get for starting a fight. All right. Okay, in our next hour, we've got the Family Justice Center, Mike Burke. We're going to be talking about our Justice Center, how it's, the parts for our community that it produces or that it has for victims of domestic violence. And this isn't just women, but it's the children, men, anybody that's a victim of domestic violence. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Join us right after the news.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
The staff. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. 8:05, January the 21st, 2011. Carl and Linda Bott, and Linda's on assignment this morning. And it's 40 degrees. It's going to go up to like 70 degrees today. It's going to be a beautiful day. Tomorrow's going to be nice. The day after that's going to be nice. So, and the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo's Vineyard. They're having a great event up there on Valentine's Day weekend. On February 13th, that Sunday, they're going to have two seatings, a special menu, and it's going to be great. A bottle of wine with your entrees there, if you avail yourself of this. But they do get crowded. They've got just a few spots left for that day on the 13th, so give them a call. It's in Somos Vineyards. It's just a short trip out of Palo Cedro heading toward Shingletown. Good morning. And our guest today for this segment, Michael Burke.
Good morning.
Director of the Family Shasta County Family Justice Center.
That's correct.
And Angela Fitzgerald, who's the director of the director of the Crime Victims Assistance Center.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, welcome aboard. You've both been here before, and we like having you on because we've had for the good you all do the community.
Well, thank you. And we like being here.
And also, it's a good way to get out, the word on things that are happening, things that with the Justice Center, because we always have new listeners and they may not really understand what the Family Justice Center is. So, Mike, Can you help us with that?
The Shasta Family Justice Center is a one-stop shop for victims of family violence. What we do is we provide co-located services for victims of domestic violence, elder abuse, child abuse, and sexual assault. The idea behind the Justice Center is to bring all of the agencies together under one roof to help those in need. So what we do is we have on-site and off-site partners. So let's say a domestic violence victim comes in with her two children. Well, we have a large youth room where the children can play and not have to listen to the story of the abuse, and they're separated, but mom still gets to see the child, and there's a nice little window there where they can watch each other, and things go well there. And women, sometimes even men, will spend up to 4 or 5 hours in our facility having Women's Refuge come in, Legal Services of Northern California. We have Child Abuse Prevention Coordinating Council parent partners on site, the Intertribal Council of Northern California on site. We have Crime Victims Assistance that's there 40 hours a week. We have a tremendous team of volunteers that work together. Everybody comes together for that one client at one time, so they don't have to travel all around town.
Now, is this the question came in, is the Justice Center managed by the DA's office?
It's not managed by the DA's office. It's managed by the by me, the executive director, and the district attorney's office is very involved.
Okay, but they don't really, you don't fall under them, or do you?
Right now, we work very closely with the district attorney's office. My salary currently is paid by a grant that was given to the district attorney's office. So the only thing that's paid by the district attorney is my salary, and that's going to quickly transition to another 501c3 to help the county be a partner in the sense that they're going to work with us to write grants. We have county agencies that work on and off-site at the center, like Crime Victims Assistance. Angela Fitzgerald is the project manager for the Shasta Family Justice Center, and her department and the whole DA's office is really instrumental in helping us help victims.
Okay. Hey, we got to take a quick break here. Our guests are Michael Burke, director of the Shasta County Family Justice Center, and Angela Fitzgerald, director of the Crime Victims Assistance Center. Join us after these messages. 60, the home of Free Fire Media. You know, Bad Bob, I'm thinking about how do I cut $2.5 trillion out of our budget? I'm afraid that we're just going to have to, you know, just have the toilet paper amounts here. That's it. I'm sorry. I'm going to take you all down to one sheet. So that's a way of saving money. Hey, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, 8:12 in the morning on January the 21st. This portion of the show is brought to you by, I'm not laughing because it's brought to you by B&T Satellite. It's just that I love watching Bob's face. You know, Bob has got that kind of expressive face when you say things to him. If he didn't have a beard, it would just be a different photo opportunity every day.
I'd look 10 years younger, for one thing.
No, maybe. Anyway, this portion of the show is brought to you by Doug Tooley and B&T Satellite. He does Dish Satellite, does a great job. We have him in the house, and not just to clean up, but just to have the Dish Satellite. His phone number is 244-1988, he's a local guy, been in the business since 1985. He's a veteran. Money stays local. You need to give him a call at 244-1988. Doug guarantees his work, and he does great work. Our guest today, Michael Burke, the director of the Shasta County Family Justice Center, and Angela Fitzgerald, who is the director of the Crime Victims Assistance Center. Okay, we were talking about how it was organized, and it's important that people understand how y'all are organized, and then we are going to go into a typical case.
Well, the way we're organized is through a governance team. Before the break, we were talking about our relationship with the district attorney's office. And with the transition there, we do have district attorney representatives on our governance team, including Angela and Josh. And we have other members on our governance team from the Women's Refuge, from Health and Human Service Agency, from the Board of Supervisors, Wind River Casino. And we are looking to actively grow our governance team to include all aspects of our community. And so that's kind of what we do. I report to the governance team what's going on inside our center. The governance team gives me feedback and direction, and we move forward. The Justice Center was initially funded by a $65,000 grant from Blue Shield of California that was put through by the National Justice Alliance. the National Justice Alliance formed a California initiative, and 23 counties in the state applied for funding to get a justice center up and running. Shasta County was one of six chosen. One has dropped out now, so there's five remaining California sites. We were the first of those five to have a grand opening. We are probably...
When was the grand opening?
It was September 1st. We had about 400 people in the center. It was just phenomenal. It was awesome. Since then, Carl, we've had over 500 visits in the center of victims of family violence.
Okay. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about is what's your... I know you can't say what's your average, you know, the person you help, but can you give us an example of somebody that you have helped?
Well, it's typically women and children, and we have had over 200 children visit the center. And it's family violence. It's child abuse, domestic violence. There are cases of instances of elder abuse, but typically we have women in family violence situations who come in with their children waiting for the older children to go to school. They'll come in with the children 0 to 5 who are taken care of in our children's room by volunteers, typically licensed clinical social workers or marriage family therapists who are taking care of the children while mom are getting the services that they need. They'll come in and meet with the navigator who then assesses with the customer, what we call our clients, the customers, and they'll assess their needs based on what the customer feels that they need, not what the agency is pushing on them. And that typically can range from legal services, needing temporary restraining orders, criminal protective orders, needing custody arrangements, assistance from the Crime Victims Assistance Center as far as mental health counseling and relocation, and also from Shasta Women's Refuge. They can sign up with a parent partner. They can receive needs met from the Intertribal Council if there's any sort of Native American. And so what happens is all of these needs are being met while the children are being taken care of. Instead of the client having to run around town and get this taken care of in a matter of weeks, it happens in one day.
Well, you know, and before, when we first heard about this and, you know, started to help, you know, support this, was that one reason, is that people that have problems, be it women and their children or a man or an elderly person, they have to go from spot to spot to spot to spot. It was just impossible for them, and they probably never did finish the process, I can imagine. Mm-hmm. It would take somebody that's really lucky. If they had their own car, they could do that, but most of them don't have their own car.
Right, and in Shasta County, over the past 3 months, we have had 398 incidents of family violence, and those were actual reports written by our three law enforcement agencies, and so it is prevalent. It's something that is it's a problem, and it affects the entire community, not only financially, emotionally, the employment, it affects every aspect of our community when we have families who are in distress.
You know, a question, we get a lot of our questions via the chat room.
Great.
And they do that instead of calling. Well, you all can still call at 605-4567. Can you ask what happened with the case of that eight-year-old boy that was beaten with the baseball bat?
That's still under investigation, and it's not something that we can discuss at this point. You know, I'm sure it's confidential information, so it really can't be discussed at this point. But all of the agencies that can let you know are looking into the history of that family, and some sort of decisions will be made very soon.
Here's an editorial comment. Supposedly, I've been hearing lately, is that there had been some, you know, things have been said before, or there have been reports before. Now, y'all can't talk about that, and I'm not saying it's true, but these are things I hear. The Women's Refuge. Y'all kind of like partnered here. You find this kind of like a symbiotic relationship at all, or is this something that, because they did a lot of the things that you did, I believe, before, or part of what they did, at least finding the shelter form and help. Is this a good partnership?
It's a great question, Carl, because we get that a lot. How are you different, or what do you compete with the Women's Refuge? And we don't compete at all. The Women's Refuge is one of our key partners in this endeavor. Imagine the Family Justice Center is the house. We have all of our rooms called living rooms and closets and guest rooms, family rooms, things like that, because all we are is the house for people to come in and do their work. We need to have the Women's Refuge involved. We don't do their services because the Family Justice Center itself doesn't provide services. It provides co-location. So the Women's Refuge comes in, they do all the intimate partner restraining orders, they get people into shelter. we need them as a partner. And we always ask people when people say, well, I already gave to the Women's Refuge, you know, funding-wise. And we say, great, we don't want you to stop giving to the Women's Refuge or any of our partners in order to fund us. We would ask for any additional dollars above and beyond what you already give to other community agencies, because without our partners, we don't have an agency.
Okay, so and that, so then you all also do the fundraisers too.
Yes, we do.
Okay, well, we got to take a break here. When we come back, we want to talk about elder abuse, which is, I think, and maybe it's just because Bob's getting so much older, and I think it's starting to, I believe it's happening more, but you all can talk to me about that. You're up on the statistics, but what to do about elder abuse if it's suspected. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. We're talking to the Family Justice Center, doing a great job for our community. Join us after these messages. 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It is 8:23 in the morning on January the 21st. Satan, we'll see you later there, John. John's just checking off the net. Our guests are from the Family Justice Center, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. You know, Lumberjacks is famous for their breakfast specials. Monday through Friday only, they have these great specials at 501 East Cypress, and to include like ham and eggs, $3.99, chicken fried steak and eggs, $4.99, and a New York steak and eggs, $5.99. Includes hash browns and everything. So this is Lumberjacks, one of our newest sponsors. Oh, we go to Lumberjacks. We like it. And we urge you to also to go there. Our guest, Michael Burke from the Family Justice Center, and Angela Fitzgerald, who's the director of the Crime Victims Assistance. I'm just trying to read. Doing it. Okay, I better just, you know, I have to hold this up here. My eyes have just gone completely today. Assistance Center, I'm sorry. One of the things we questions that have come in is about elder abuse. Do you see uptick elder abuse?
Definitely. It depends on the reporting trends, but definitely a problem in our community. And I encourage people to call Adult Protective Services or law enforcement and ask for a welfare check. If you, all you have to do is suspect. You don't have to investigate. You don't have to come to some conclusion. You just have to have some sort of perhaps evidence, or there's a suspicion that something's going on. And it happens in the way of financial abuse, emotional abuse, and physical abuse of elders in our community.
So what you're saying, if you have a suspicion of this, then you should just call the police or the
Adult Protective Service Agency under the Health and Human Services of Shasta County.
Do you have a phone number for that? Okay.
Not off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's not fair to you. That's not. Yeah. Just walk around with that.
If you call the Justice Center at 243-8868, the Health and Human Service Agency is one of our on-call staff, and we can give them a call. And they will respond to the center if we need them to.
Okay. All right. You know, because, you know, people, you know, I don't know how many times people may look and see something that doesn't look right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we need to be involved. We need to call. And I think people would rather err on the side of, you know, there could be something happening to those children, and then let the authorities figure this out, mm-hmm. as opposed to just ignoring it, thinking that maybe I didn't hear that. So, okay. Now, as everything else,
mm-hmm.
the center runs on coin money.
Yes.
Besides the fact that people just working really hard to do a great thing, you know, you need funds. And you've got a couple of fundraisers coming up here.
We do. We tried to think of a way to engage the community that wouldn't cost the business community a lot of money. They give a lot here locally. So we actually have two different fundraisers coming up that will engage the public and the business community. The first is our Empowering Families campaign. And what that is, it's a point-of-sale campaign that says many businesses in the community can ask patrons who use their places, like Lumberjacks, and say, for $1, would you like to donate $1 to help end family violence in Shasta County? And if a person says yes, they get a little ticket, and they get to write their name on the little house and put it up in the business. This is at no cost to the businesses at all to take part in it. And what we've done is any business that raises $500 or more doing this Empowering Families campaign will be entered into a grand prize drawing worth about $5,000 in free advertising. So that will include a print ad and Enjoy magazine, professional ad development, photography, KHSL, television commercial, radio commercials, the whole gamut will be included, a social media package to get on Facebook and online. So that's the Empowering Families campaign. And so if any businesses are interested in entering this Empowering Families, they can call me directly, Michael Burke, at 243-8868. And then we're also doing a sock hop. You know, one of our...
Let's go back to that last thing you were talking about. So if somebody enters that and they get selected, is that it? Or
It's the business will get selected. The individuals just contribute a dollar. Like,
right.
Let's say you
but
go...
They can, yeah. But we contribute. We get selected. I mean, is this like drawn out of a hat?
Yes, it'll be drawn out of a hat on March 12th
at the sock hop. Okay.
Yeah, so, all the businesses.
So every business that puts in a dollar gets a little ticket, goes in there. Okay.
It's their patrons. Like Mary Pizza Shack. Mary Pizza Shacks will ask their people, the people who eat pizza in there, would you like to donate a dollar to help end family violence?
Got it.
And so they'll get a dollar. So if they raise 500 of those dollars, then that business will go into the drawing for the for the $5,000.
Okay.
So, and then the other sponsorship opportunity for businesses, let's say you don't have a lot of foot traffic but you want to be involved. We have the Sock Hop coming up, and we already have like Tim Riley and Associates. He's a local tax attorney, is donating $1,000. He doesn't have the people coming through the doors to do the Empowering Families campaign, and he really doesn't need the advertising dollars. So he just gave us $1,000, so he'll be a premier sponsor, a Boogie Woogie sponsor at our Sock Hop coming up on March 12th. So there's two ways to be involved with the Family Justice Center that will really help victims of family violence.
Okay. All right. How much time we have left here? Okay, we got like a minute left. The Sock Hop is going to be when now? March?
That's on March 12th, Saturday, from 4 to 9 p.m., and that will be at the atrium in the south end of the downtown mall. And we'll include, like Mike said, we will have an ice cream social, sock hop, dancing 50s style, come dressed up. It's low cost for families. Admission's only $5. Kids 10 and under are free. And tickets are available at Leatherby's, the Enjoy Store, Graphic Emporium.
No, actually, the tickets are available at Leatherby's and Keller Williams over on Churn Creek, and we'll have an online presence for that.
Okay. There's just changes in it we are always ready for that.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a break and listen to the news here. It's Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Join us after the news. Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment today. Our phone line's here, 605-4567, and I don't give this out enough. But we are streaming at KCNR1460.com, and get into the chat room, as many of you have. It's 8:34 in the morning on January the 21st. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. The gents there give great haircuts, and it is haircuts. It's not styling, because it's a barbershop. They give a break to veterans. If you're in there, they take off hair and money if you're a veteran. It's man's last stronghold. It's a great place to go. You're not going to be seeing Dr. Phil or Oprah on the TV. It just doesn't happen. That Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Our guests today are Michael Burke from the Shasta County Family Justice Center, and Angela Fitzgerald, who is the director of the Crime Victims Assistance Center, located within the Family Justice Center. Is that true, or are you just kind of separate there?
The center Crime Victims Assistance is in the District Attorney's Office, and we do have staff on site as partners with the Shasta Family Justice Center.
Okay. Now, people that wanted to volunteer, that was one of the questions that came up. If they wanted to volunteer, how do they do that?
What you do is you call our number, 243-8868, or you go online to ShastaFJC.org. We have a whole section on our website dedicated to our dedicated volunteers. And we actually are having a training at the end of this month. If my memory is correct, it's January 28th from 2 to 3:30 p.m. We have a fantastic volunteer named Laurel Park, who is our volunteer coordinator. and she's put together a fabulous program with Karen Marker, who's another one of our volunteers, and they do an hour and a half training about everything that the Justice Center has to offer. And part of that training is to keep the ongoing training, because we always do classes. We have a large education classroom at the Justice Center, so we do community education and service provider education. We invite all of our volunteers to that, too, so they can get education. But we have a huge need for volunteers right now for our youth room to work with our children, for client navigation to work with client navigators and help them figure out the system. We also have volunteer needs for our front desk, kind of administrative assistant volunteer. Basically, if you want to volunteer, we have a place for you. And a quick little plug for Laurel Park, who is our who I just talked about. She is running for Seroptimus Queen. So if you have a second, log on to the Seroptimus website and vote for her.
Okay. All right. We can.
That's the Mardi Gras Queen, Mardi Gras for the Seroptimus on January 29th.
And who do you want to vote for?
Laurel Park.
Laurel
she
Park.
She is awesome. She's in a solid second place, and she's been in first a couple of times, but she's just an amazing volunteer, and she always says, vote for me as vote for us. So, but our community, you know, along with our volunteers, you know, we've had well over 1,500 volunteer hours put into the center already since we opened. And the community's just been amazing. You know, we've basically outfitted 6,000 square feet of space for under $2,000. We recently got a grant from the Shasta Regional Community Foundation's McConnell Fund to outfit our community room. So now we have nice matching tables and all that. But other than that, we've gotten all the center put together through donations, and we always have a wish list.
That's right. Now, if people don't have money at this point, you know, the economy's tough and everything, but y'all can use a lot of different things that, you know, that at the center, and it doesn't take money. This just takes maybe some things you have around the house.
Yeah, it's just time and, you know, just putting in a little extra effort. We have grocery stores sometimes donating food. We have people bringing in blankets. An organization, I believe, made quilts. We had a lady go and bring toys and blankets. The children that visit our center always leave with a toy or a blanket or something. And the families who are in need of food, we will fill up a grocery bag of food and send that. So some of on our wish list are definitely food for our pantry, items for children. We're pretty good on clothing right now, but we have one mom who's relocating and needs furniture, who needs pots and pans and dishes. We take those types of donations if people call in advance and schedule that with us. But right now, definitely needs for the food pantry.
Okay. So there's so many different ways you can help without having to be down there or to open up the checkbook.
Absolutely. We help. You know, if you call in advance, say, hey, can I use this? We just got a call saying, we have a nice credenza desk. Do you want it? And we're going to put that in for our client navigator. So, you know, call first if it's a big item. Make sure it's something that we need. Like, we're kind of getting filled up with big, huge furniture. We have a huge need for indirect lighting because it's so much softer and comfortabler. You know, if we have nice lamps that can make the atmosphere more pleasing, we need artwork for the walls and, you know, those type of things.
Yeah. You know, okay. Typical case. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. And let's take them from when they get there to the time that you feel like they've been helped.
I've had clients come in 1 hour of services up to 4 hours of service.
Okay. Well, let's say, you know, let's just use, and I don't want to be, a woman with three children walks in through the door.
Just had that happen.
Okay. She walks through the door. She's obviously been abused.
A long-term relationship, domestic violence, some child abuse. The children went into the children's room where they were with volunteers. They were fed, taken care of, play with toys. Mom went into a separate room where she could still see the children through a window. The children could see her, very comfortable living room type atmosphere. And from there, mom started to tell her story.
Okay, now, when she walks through the door, she's greeted right then.
Greeted by receptionist staff in a living room environment.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, living room environment.
And then introduced to a navigator who is a social work person or advocate and taken back to the children's room and the adjacent room for
the
interview.
The children are introduced then to another volunteer that's there to help make them comfortable.
And they immediately go play in a room filled with toys and cartoons and books.
Okay. So now you've got the mother in the to be talked in the room to be
a separate room to talk to her. And right. She can tell her story and not have to tell it again and again in front of those children. And she can get the services she needs, and with that, with the navigator, she's going through the services that she feels she needs.
Okay.
Spiritual services, chaplain program.
Okay, so where does she go for that? Is that right?
She's staying there because
you have a chaplain on call.
Because the receptionist or advocate will check in with somebody else at the center who will be gathering those services for her while she's there.
Okay.
So before she leaves, whatever it is she feels she needs, talking to somebody from Shasta Women's Refuge, scheduling an appointment to come back later that day to meet with an attorney to have a restraining order or a restraining order with Women's Refuge, getting applications to the Crime Victims Assistance.
Are restraining orders paid for by donations, or do they have to pay for them? Because I understand they cost money.
They do cost money. They do waive filing fees for certain economic status.
Okay.
Legal Services of Northern California, it's based on economic status, and then Shasta Women's Refuge will help if it is an intimate partner, violence or crime.
Okay.
They'll help with restraining orders.
And we have paralegals and lawyers that have also volunteered their time at the center to come help clients in need.
Okay. I'm going to take a break here, and I'm going to finish up through how this goes so people can get an idea from the time they go there from, you know, and then time that they either leave or they always leave, right?
Yes.
But they often come back just to have a cup of coffee or read a book.
I want to talk about, you know, how many times that you get repeaters, too. And people don't understand how that happens. And we had the family, we had the Women's Center on the other day, Refuge on the other day, talking about this. And I'd like to hear what your take is on this, too. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. We're talking about the Family Justice Center and how they help members of our community. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 605-4567, and we're streaming and chatting at KCNR1460.com. 8:45 in the morning on January the 21st. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's currently 40 degrees, but it's going to go up to close to 70. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, right on 2143 Hilltop Drive. It's got the finest place for coffee and Espresso Joe's, and it's got the greatest walk-in humidor in the state. And, you know, any type of tobacco accessory is available there. But also, you can buy coffee beans. You can buy any product to make coffee. The coffee beans they sell are deluxe coffee beans. They sell them by the pound and not 10 ounces. And they have the greatest prices in town. They have very fair prices at Tobacco and Brew. That's at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley support our community. They support the veterans. And it's a great business to go to. I go there all the time. They have different things they do. You know, I mean, different groups that come through there. If there's something going on. The other day, Shelley put on a birthday party. You know that, you know, I don't know, maybe they came to your place, but not, maybe they wouldn't come to yours. But here's a family whose house burned down. They were five, you know, with five kids. She heard that it was the one-year-old's birthday party. Shelley gave that little girl a birthday party with pizza and balloons, little presents there. I mean, she doesn't even know these people, and she did that.
Awesome.
That's the kind of, you know, see, that's the kind of people we have in this town.
We definitely do.
I'm sure you're all into it. Now, let's go on back. Our guests are Michael Burke, he's the director of the Family Justice Center, and Angela Fitzgerald, who is the director of the Crime Victims Assistance Center. Now, what we've done is we've walked people through what happens when they get there. Okay, so they've seen everybody. They've told the story. They've gotten assistance from the different groups of people mm-hmm. that are there. And then what happens?
Well, after we've wrapped them in services and taken good care of their children, they will either go into shelter from there. They could go home. They can go to a friend's house. They'll usually leave. We had a little girl in who was a child abuse case. She came into the center with only a T-shirt and shorts, and it was raining and cold outside. Because of our closet, we call it, our clothing pantry, we were able to outfit her from head to toe for about four outfits with shoes, socks, jackets, and everything. So we're more than just services. We actually provide our guests with something to do after they're done. If they don't know where to go, we've had people come back to the center after they've received all their services to just say hi. We've had them come back. We have a guest room set up at the center where we have a telephone and a computer that's hooked up to the internet and a printer. And we're starting, I think, in about 2 weeks to have the Smart Business Resource Center come over, work with our guests to help them find jobs. So we're more than just for crisis or for immediate need, which we do that well. We're also for long-term care. We're hoping that people, victims of family violence, feel supported and they can come back and read a book. They can come back and play. It's really heartwarming to know that children, we actually had a little birthday party just the other day for a three-year-old. Her mom didn't have anywhere to go and didn't feel like the being out in the community was the best thing for her daughter at this point. So we said, let's just have a party here. So Spouses Behind the Badge came in with balloons and presents. Angie Millis, who works with us from Crime Victim Assistance, built this beautiful two-tiered princess cake. And this little girl's face lit up, Carl, from the time she got there till the time she left.
You know, it's a sad thing to think that we've got children out there that the biggest thing in their lives is a two-tiered cake brought by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, that's unfortunate that it happens. Now, one of the things we've had other agencies on here is the women that are abused.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an average of 7 times it takes them to come in and get help before they can
five make, to seven times
that they can make that
the
break.
Average before somebody will leave.
How many people have you seen on a repetitive basis?
Many. I've been doing this type of work for over 12 years, and I can tell you the clients that they'll come and go. Until they finally have had it, and enough is enough.
What's usually is it one of those things that just kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, or is it something that finally clicks through to the person that's being abused like this? Is it something with the children?
It's really different for everyone. Everyone who has come through our doors, I mean, it's just been different. But it's usually once they receive the wraparound services.
No, and so once they get all the services, but it's okay, so they've been helped. So that kind of like, okay, they've got a fix there to get them ready for the next time, and then they go home, and then once that's out, they come back again?
Once they feel empowered,
okay.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Once they feel empowered and that they can stand on their own, I see women getting out. And in financial assistance is huge, because if you don't have any type of financial resources, that often will send you right back into the situation.
And that's what I've heard before, to leave everything they have, home, clothing, everything, and it's a money thing. And they will forgive a lot to be able to be taken care of.
What I've heard repeatedly in our center from at least 10 to 15 women who have come through, if you didn't exist, I wouldn't have gotten help. It's because they feel safe and comfortable in our environment. We can lock down our facility so no perpetrators can get in. We are very much a victim-focused center, and that makes them feel comfortable. We had a lady who was abused for many decades come through our center, get help, and credits the center's personality and the center's embracing her to breaking her cycle.
Okay, Bob? One thing that I heard repeatedly in the years that I was working as a reporter was these women would say, not, I went back because I love him. They said, I go back because he loves me, which strikes me as a self-worth thing, that nobody else would love this woman, and that's the reason. She may loathe his bones, but because he, quote, loves her in whatever weird way, that's why she goes back.
Think about it. It's the only crime where your perpetrator, you have a relationship. I mean, you're not going to care about the bank robber. You're not going to care about somebody who burglarizes. But they just want the perpetrator to stop. I mean, you initially love the person you're in a relationship with, and you don't want them to hurt you. And so when they do, it's mind-boggling to me.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here and come back for our last segment. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
No,
welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:54 in the morning, and let's go to the phones. Jay.
Hey, good morning, Carl.
How you doing,
Jay? I'm doing good. I'm really glad that you guys are bringing up this subject, because it's such a horrible subject. I mean, it breaks my heart every time I see a woman flinch around her husband or boyfriend. It just enrages me, because men like that, they're cowards, and they just really, really upset me. I've seen this in my job for Yellow Cab. You know, pick up women, and they're obviously running from somebody. I've taken a few to the women's refuge, and I'm really glad that you guys are making a point to make sure that this is being addressed.
Oh, thanks, Jay. And, you know, anything we can do to help publicize this. But, you know, today, for the first time, I have a, even though they've been on several times before,
and we appreciate that, Family Justice Center with Michael Burke and Angela Fitzgerald. The idea of finding out what happens when somebody walks through the door, how that works, how they come back, why they come back, and then how they can finally take that step away, has been really it's been really an eye opener today.
Well, it's easy to say just do it, but showing the steps, that's a huge thing.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Jay, thanks a lot.
And Jay brings up an interesting point. It's not just women. We had men come to the center quite often to help seek services also.
They're getting abused, too?
Yes, men get abused.
I have had elderly men come in and talk about having abuse at home. Yeah, not only by grown children, but by spouses.
Well, our guests have been Michael Burke, who's the director of the Shasta County Family Justice Center, and Angela Fitzgerald, who's the director of the Crime Victims Assistance Center. We really appreciate you all being here. I know you got a sock hop that's going to be on the March 12th, and as a fundraiser for your organization.
And we also encourage everybody to look for the little houses. Businesses will be putting out a press release at the end of the month, telling everybody about the businesses that are involved with the Empowering Families campaign. We'll have a complete list on our website, too.
Okay, we're right after the show, we're going to cut a public service announcement for you.
Thanks.
And,
that's great.
If you all can come up with one, since Bad Bob refuses to write them anymore after what I did to his last one. So we want this to get out, is that especially in the part where people can volunteer, but they can also bring things that they have. Foodstuffs, or maybe sheets, or I don't know, other things. I don't know.
Pots and pans,
anything to
just
help.
Call us
gift
first.
Cards. You know, we give away a lot of gift cards to clients in need who need to go to Target or need to go to Safeway. Or First Five Shasta gave us a lot of gift cards for moms with kids 0 to 5 so they can go out and buy diapers or food for their children.
Okay. Well, thank you very much
for being here, Carl.
Today.
Thank you, for you and Linda, for being so supportive of the center and having us on.
Well, you know, community radio. You all help the community. Anything we can do to get the word out, help the community, help our veterans, help the people, the great people of the North State here. I mean, that's what we do. And so it's easy to do that when you have people that whose vision and the work they do is to help those in our state, up here in the, you know, the great state of Jefferson and the North State. Some people, no matter how much you help them, nothing's going to happen. But if you can find the other people that help then gets them to that next step and they become productive members of society, yeah, you know what, that's worth giving that shot at. Okay.
And our center has made that difference for many victims in the short amount of time we've been open. So thanks, Carl. We really appreciate being here.
Thank you for everything you do. And hang around here because y'all are going to cut a commercial here in about 3 minutes. Okay, you know, things that are going on this weekend and for next week. Tomorrow, if I read this right, Merle Haggard's going to have a concert at the Cascade Theater at 7:30. And the proceeds are going to benefit the Shasta College Culinary Club, the Cooking Club. There, call 243-8877. The Importance of Being Earnest by Oscar Wilde is going to be at the Center for Spiritual Living on Hartnell. Admission is $7 for adults, $4 for seniors and students. And, of course, the Antique Show today to Sunday at the Mount Shasta Mall. Cottonwood Community's got all-you-can-eat crab, as does the Knights of Columbus. You know, this is crab season. I hate to say it, but I am just... In fact, I've seen Angela Fitzgerald at every one of the crab feeds that I've been at, come to think
Love
of it.
Crab.
I know. You know, it's almost, I almost feel bad. Nah, not really.
Yeah.
With all the crab that
it's
comes
always
through
good
there.
Causes.
It's all, it is. It's always for good causes. Thank goodness. Next week, Monday, we're going to have Mark LaSalle from the Economic Development Group right here, the new head of that. We're going to talk about what his plans are to develop our economy. We're going to have next week, Jim Nielsen's going to be on, maybe Doug LaMoffin, a couple others, to talk about this budget, get this budget under control. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. It's Friday. It's got a great weekend. Listen to our shows over the weekend. We've got some great shows starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Thank you for listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.